That's it? You're not going to exhaust the docket?
JR,
there's no docket. Okay, the cast's over. We said Nanu Nanu.
What was left on the docket?
There's nothing on the docket, right?
Money draft.
We should do a GoFundMe to buy him a gun. Like, I know that you're fucking insane, and so you probably won't pass the 14-day waiting period to buy your own gun. So don't worry, we bought one for you.
Money draft.
Jason.
Oh, I see. That was a shit episode, man.
I don't know about that, man.
I'm embarrassed.
It wasn't the most...
It's the one about trains.
The one about trains! Whoop whoop!
It wasn't the most iridescent, but it's had spicy moments.
Money draft.
Bunch of fucking peasants. This is Money Draft coming into your fucking head holes in surround sound stereo. This is episode 31B. It is not 32 because I wasn't really on the last episode, so I don't think it should count. Boom! I'm joined with my sub-host, Slick Jagger.
What's up, you poor fucks?
And I'm joined by my second sub-host, JR the Time Elemental.
How you doing, everybody?
I thought you were gonna hit it with another Nanu Nanu.
that would be too straightforward. I had to go back to the raptor noise.
That raptor noise rhetoric is strong.
strong play.
For those of you who don't know why you listen to episode 31B as your entree into this cast, we are the premier Magic the Gathering lifestyle podcast.
That is very true. That silky, you know, Eastern world, smooth shit. That's that Money Draft shit.
You may be wondering, what's that psychedelic iridescence? That's just Money Draft coming up in your fucking life and teaching you how to not fuck up. Oh, I think I'm going to play the main event in Grand Prix Las Vegas. Yeah, well, you're fucking up. Don't do it.
Round.
Scoop up that seal pool, say thanks for the $120 in value, and fucking bounce. Go play some blackjack.
Time is precious, man.
Time is precious. What's your time worth?
A lot.
Your time in Las Vegas is more valuable than regular time.
Yeah, like, my regular time is worth a fuckload, so, like, time in Las Vegas is pretty much infinite.
Oh, maybe I'll play 96 rounds of Magic and get top 32 like Corbin did and win, like, $100, because that's worth it.
Yeah, the play that everybody should be making is what Motika did last year. Just open a foil Goyf and then leave.
Yeah.
I opened a foil Sword of Fire and Ice and left.
That's how
a foil
to be Goyf
would be,
man.
Even better. Yeah, man. Whatever. I would have scooped with just about anything.
I played a junk ramp deck. It was fine. I won 2 dropped. I should have held in a little bit more. I thought everyone was leaving, but I had to hang out for a couple more hours, so I should have given it more of a chance. But we don't need to talk about the last time. We saw
the whole set. So can we agree that guy was full of fucking shit finally?
Sure, man.
Because, like, even on Brainstorm Brewery, Marcel and Ryan were like, he got some cards right. I'm like, oh, which ones did he get right? Emrakul? Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, why would you get anything wrong if you had inside info? If you have inside info, you're not going to get anything wrong at all. And if you do, you got to admit you were just goddamn guessing. So I'm actually really disappointed in Mythic spoiler. Because
yeah,
Mythic spoilers usually had the most credibility. And that, like, if they've run it, I'm like, all right, it's on Mythic. It's got to be real. But this time, they just ran that guy's list saying Goblin Guide was in and Splinter Twin was Mythic and all this other bullshit.
Yeah, it was the same list everyone had. Yeah, and I don't really get why people are so pissed about it. Aside,
oh, you got Tezzeret right. Yeah, I guessed Tezzeret. So I guess
did
I
he
had
guess
a
Seeker
week
or
too.
Agent. I thought he also had Agent instead of Seeker. Anyway, yeah, it's sort of a downgrade for Mythic Spoiler specifically, just because they've kind of lost their.
I mean, MTG Salvation never had any credibility to begin with, but.
And they've been backing off of the spoiler stuff in past years anyway.
The only thing I wish Mythic Spoiler did was just have clear text, like at the bottom of the card that like wouldn't show up visually, but if you control F on their page, you could find a fucking card. That's my only. I love Mythic Spoiler. I think it's like I'm glad that I never have to go on MTG Salvation ever again. But
you also, I thought you used to be able to filter on Salvation by common, uncommon, rare. Like that's
yeah, you
unusually
used to be
hard
to
do before it gets onto Gatherer, but so the, yeah, he had the same list as almost everyone else with some like notable, you know.
I mean, I had a cycle of Praetors. I didn't have a cycle of garbage.
Yeah, the Praetor cycle, like I don't know. Again,
instead of the Praetor cycle, we get Primetime, Comet Storm.
That's just a troll.
Fucking Bitter Blossom. Shit nobody asked for, frankly.
Bitter Blossom's fine.
I would rather have Sheoldred than Bitter Blossom.
Sure.
But hey, that's just me as an EDH player, whatever.
It feeds into the
token. JR, I gotta fact check your docket a little bit, dog. You, if we're not leaping too far ahead, you said there wasn't a lot of EDH action.
Sure. And,
I think if you look at the gold shit, you will find there's plenty of EDH action. Daybreak Coronet's a card a lot of Bruna players like to play, but that's not why it's in the set. It's in the set because it's, you know, and that's, it's an expensive card in a deck that has no reason having expensive cards. But there's Creekwood Liege. There's there's a whole bunch.
I didn't
of
realize
EDH
that was an EDH gold. Powerhouse. I mean, I like that
Creekwood
card.
Creekwood Liege is nuts. That's why it's like $7-$8. You know, the Green White Liege, not so much. You know, that's a modern card, and that's always been fun.
Okay, you know, so Creekwood, Horde of Notion.
Yeah. So there's some EDH goods down in the
okay.
gold.
Okay.
Lore Scale Coattle for the tiny leaders.
But it wasn't just like, I could probably think of a bunch of, you know, $20 EDH cards that weren't in the set. Whereas
yeah,
last time, it was more of like a...
there's no doubling sweep. Season.
Yeah. And the Grand Arbiter, Augustin the Fourth, just blatant stuff like that. So I'm not really revising my opinion. I think like the EDH is like relatively weak here.
Yeah, they had an opportunity to print some stuff.
So,
but like honestly, there's not a ton left that's expensive, modern playable, wouldn't wreck the. You know, that's really why I thought they would have the Green Liege, because that's like perfect.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed because I thought I was going to catch them, because by including EDH stuff, you're almost implicitly acknowledging the secondary market. This way, even though there's a high correlation with secondary market prices for the rares and mythics, it's not about that per se. So I guess that was an intentional decision. And it also allowed, I mean, there's plenty of vehicles for printing EDH stuff. So
yeah, I bet they do another Commander's Arsenal, and I, you know, there's going to be another EDH set every year, so it's fine. It's not like that's the only way to print EDH stuff.
So I still feel like we're generally right. We didn't say anything like catastrophically wrong. Like our mistakes were understandable. So like, you know, we were trying to identify exceptions like Daybreak Coronet and Leyline, and so. You know, there's the argument that these cards just need to be printed. And in the case of Leyline, I agree. Like, this should not be where it is price-wise, over $30. And it's an important card for Modern. With Daybreak Coronet, I don't know. First of all, there's no support in the set, really.
Yeah, like, there's a bunch of cards that were on our list of, like, cards they can't just obtrusively jam in the set with no justification, and they're all in here. That's the crazy thing to me. They're like, just
not all in there.
In.
Like Scapeshift was like one of the top three, and Scapeshift isn't in there. Maybe it's gonna be
well,
in
they got prime time
or
instead, which, you know.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of an EDH card, frankly.
There's a lot of color fixing. It's like there's that the well, I guess we can get into the strategies in a little bit, but in terms of other, and then, you know, you have like the type one errors, and then there's the type two errors where like stuff that's just not in, like Goblin Guide. Again, it's probably coming in Zendikar, so
I don't know, because if you look at all the reprints that were in Return to Ravnica, there were 10 of them, and they were lands. So I don't know necessarily know that they're going to reprint anything.
It has to be coming soon. You know, that's a card that's like it's a fundamental card in Modern for a certain kind of deck, whereas Daybreak Coronet, again, like, yeah, it's ridiculous that card was worth so much, but you don't need that card for Modern. Like,
doesn't need to be expensive. That's the thing. There's like there's a bunch of cards that went up, and it seemed like it was based on Modern being announced, and that was your Fulminator Mage went up, your Horizon Canopy went up, your Daybreak Coronet went up. That was all like a weird wave that seemed like there were no Modern events going on, and that stuff just went up anyway. And like stuff that spiked later has. The price has been a little bit more in touch with reality, but like those cards won't go down in price for no reason.
Sure. I mean, my point was more that no one is entitled to play that Auras deck in Modern. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like a Tarmogoyf or even a Goblin Guide or a Snapcaster. There are certain cards that I don't mind being expensive, even if it's ridiculous, you know, it seems ridiculous in terms of what the card is. You know, if you want to play that deck, maybe, you know, spend $120 for a set or something. So I don't know, that's just me. Like, or like, again, like I sort of hate playing against Auras. I used to enjoy, or I thought I would enjoy the deck, but I did not enjoy playing with the deck, and I dislike playing against it. Whereas, again, Leyline is totally different. Leyline is good against Burn, and it's good against Discard in Liliana, which is basically like 40% of Tier 1. Like, it's good against Burn, it's good against Junk. So, like, that, to me, like, that is like an important Modern card. So those two I sort of differentiate. But either way, what else? So Ink Moth was a big one, aka Blink Moth, which is what I called it last week.
Yeah, Corbin made the same mistake on Pick of the Week this week. It was funny. He called Blink Moth, and they're like, it's in the set, so I don't know if that's your best Pick of the Week. And who knows, like, if he got confused or knew the difference? I don't know. It's hard to tell. But yeah, mixing those two up, because, like, neither name is really that specific to what it does.
Yeah, it's not like one screams infect and the other, like,
well, Ink, I could see Ink Moth kind of screaming infect, but whatever.
Yeah, I almost took Ink Moth and Malir in our roto draft like early on, but that's another story. So there's Azusa. Serum Visions was another shocker. It's already,
well, we knew,
already been,
we knew Serum Visions was going to be an FMM.
Yeah.
Everyone said they knew it, but sure.
Well, I actually called it on the podcast.
Sure.
And it's going to be out on Friday. So I called it on Monday. They officially announced it on Tuesday.
But I feel like everyone realized that it would be reprinted somewhere. And
yeah. You know. Well, I think everyone. No, because I think people were like, whoa, what the fuck are they thinking? And I was like, why don't you think? Like, it's pretty obvious that it's a good candidate for the FNM stuff. I think everyone forgot about that because they announced that it was going to be Path to Exile like a month ago, and then nothing since then, so everyone kind of forgot.
Yeah, Path was another one, and I didn't even think it already being an FNM promo would. I thought they would just continue to hit it, but they didn't. Blood Moon, so it's not clear where that's going to show up.
Yeah, Blood Moon, just, man. People were buying a Blood Moon really aggressively in Cleveland, and I'm like, that seems really stupid to me. So do you think the dealers knew something I didn't? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I guess it majors to the moon. So, like, it's just a silly card. Like, but it's just going to do something silly one day if it doesn't get reprinted. I don't really respect it. Because you don't even really want, like, four Blood Moons even. Anyway, Tezzeret Agent, that could be an Origins, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, I could see that.
Why would
a blue-black card be in the core set, though?
That's not good.
They rarely do gold stuff in the core set. When they did Nico Bolas, it was a big deal.
I mean, he could be, like, one of the only gold cards or something.
Dude, the only Planeswalkers in Origins are
I think they announced them all already.
Yeah, they're going to be the five flip cards, like... I don't think Agent. I mean, but what is Agent worth? Like, do you think it's got legs?
It's really good, and
it's pretty high up there. If you just look at what you know, Planeswalkers are worth, it's 20, right?
It's possible.
If only we had the internet.
Yeah,
I got no internet,
motherfucker. Fucking internet when I'm on a podcast. It's really annoying.
It's probably because you have like no desk or mouse, like so you can't like. Use a keyboard properly.
I just kind of, like lie on my back and just use my notes and think. All right, 15 TCG mid. So it's 20 was not correct, but you know, it sees some play.
Yeah.
Probably more than Seeker. Unless I'm missing something, but the Urza's Lands, Hive Mind. Filter lands, which again, you don't really like. A couple decks use filter lands, but you don't really need filter lands for modern per se. Grove and Canopy, Damnation again, which is like the one that's now falling through the cracks every time. It's pretty much the last one left. Well, with the filter lands, I guess, but well, and Crucible of Worlds, of like the cards over $20. When Modern Masters 1 came out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that, like, Damnation is not going to be... I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going to... It might be, like, in Commander product or something, but, like, they're not going to put 4-mana Wrath in Standard again. They made that pretty clear. So, like, if it missed this wave, I mean, that's a... That's signaling right there. There is no subtlety in that signaling. They're not Damnation's coming soon.
And we know it's a hated card by, you know, people in R&D. Like Z Moshowitz was really pissed off about it and Morrow, and so we just know that they don't like the card on top of everything else. So Sower of Temptation, another one. Seems like a pretty good card.
Yeah, it's pretty techy.
Surprised no one took that in the roto draft. Aether Vial, which is up there, like Aether Vial, I think is $20 now again, right? Even through all the multiple printings.
That's been printed a lot.
Yeah, it's still.
I mean, what can they do? Like, how much do we expect them to print that? To print the same cards over and over and have their prices not be all that affected? Or do we want to, like, have some variety in the MM? So, like, I'm all for variety, because if the prices are going to, like, not really be all that affected, that's the market talking.
Yeah, look
at that. I don't want them to reprint anything into powder.
So, Aether Vial, I still think of this as, like, a $15 card, kind of, but... So, Modern Masters 1 dropped it to, like, $10... And now it's basically $25 TCG mid, which, you know, I had a set and I didn't realize they were up to that again. Anyway, but you're right, yeah, they don't want to keep hitting everything. Manlands, again, Zendikar. And it'll be cool to see if we have enemy color Manlands also. You would think... Just on the principle of, like, giving people what they want. Seems like people are pretty horny for opposing color man lands. Arcbound Ravager. The Ensnaring Bridge. your Oriok champion, your Threads of Disloyalty. That's one I fucking sold a foil one a couple months ago because I thought that one could be in.
I mean, with all the affinity stuff, it was not the worst call to make. It just, I didn't know how much stuff they were going to really reprint.
Oblivion Stone, Through the Breach, which isn't really up.
See, I kind of expected some way for Emrakul. They don't even have a way to put out Emrakul in the land base at non-rare. Like, really, you hope you get Eldrazi Temple and Emrakul in your sealed pool?
Yeah.
Like, are Ravnica Bounce Lands going to help you get to 15? That's insane. Like, I never would have designed the set this way. It's practically an FTV, like, with the way some of the mythics are just uncastable. I don't really understand.
Yeah, it's really shameful that no one drafted Breach in our roto draft.
Well, if anybody was going to do it, it was
me,
and that was not part of
it. Oh, you could have drafted that. You could have gotten a Quicksilver Amulet.
I made the conscious decision. I was blue black. I had the choice to go either white or red, and I decided that while drunk in Vegas, I'd rather play Turbo Fog than like some mill deck that has Eldrazi and Through the Breach. Like
that Isochron Scepter shit is pretty strong.
I know, man. That was a strong move I made. That I took Isochron Scepter Silence in the same pack.
I was wondering if you could like work into like some Ad Nauseam Angel's Grace kind of deck.
Nah, man. Like, I'm not trying to add different ways to think about. Like, I want to play my Howling Mine, and I want to play a bunch of one mana fogs, and I want to play Mill Tens.
Yeah. You have that Black Fog. I hadn't even heard of that card.
Darkness, yeah. Motherfucker. Darkness.
Pretty sweet.
You know about,
oh, meant, Darkness is modern legal. It's in, it's time shifted.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, another card that's just like ridiculous in Roto, which I didn't think at first, is fucking Hypnotic Spectre, which is modern legal. And like the thing is,
did anybody take it?
No.
Yeah.
I think Ian should have taken it. But like I was thinking, like, what are like the best creatures that aren't modern creatures because of Lightning Bolt? And Hypnotic Spectre might be one of those. And in this format, there isn't Lightning Bolt. Like, you know, there's Eve, like, one out of seven people has, like, you know, Lightning Bolt and maybe Lava Spike, and that's it. So, like, creatures with the 3-ass that usually are penalized because of the 3-ass, getting in Roto Draft, like, that would be an edge to just go through and try to think of those creatures. And I haven't really done it, but Spectre is definitely... Spectre seems like a lot better in Roto Draft.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, all I want to do is just mill one person, and then I'll be happy. Like, you know, just one. Yeah. Somebody's got to die.
It'll happen. Then, wrapping up the cards that were not included, Bloodghast.
Well, yeah, okay.
Again, maybe Zendikar. Those are all the rares and mythics, uncommons and commons.
What about Snake or Lotus Cobra, you know?
Yeah.
Lotus Cobra, sure.
Lotus Cobra also might be Zendikar.
Yeah.
I'm honestly willing to bet that there are zero reprints.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bold
call.
Seems
hyperbolic.
Yeah, seems like a Jason hyperbolic statement. I don't know. I think they would maybe be like, I think they could do like 10 reprints. Maybe. Like, so go to the list of the uncommons, because the first one I think is really important.
Yeah, Inquisition.
Yeah. I think Inquisition needs reprinted.
Inquisition is a big one. Spellsnare, they hit last time. Path, they hit last time.
An FNM.
Yeah. Ghostly Prison, that's like one of those creepers that's just out there, always getting more expensive. It's pretty decent. I guess it's not... I mean, I like the card, and it's good against Twin, but I guess at the end, when it comes down to it, it's not really... You don't see it in too many sideboards. Summer Bloom. Oh, Gift Probe is another huge one. That's another like bad sale I made. I sold a couple foil git probes. This was like in December. Like even then I was like, this is not gonna be, it's not gonna work out well if I hold these. Whereas Simian Spirit Guide did not get hit. I wonder what Simian Spirit Guide foils are up to at this point. They're probably like
Only we had the internet.
30, $40.
I'm looking that up right now on the internet, which I have access to,
Oh, the
which I will leverage to answer
interwebs.
questions.
And then
Simian
another one
Spirit
that's, it's re not really about Modern Masters per se, but Azuri, the elf,
Guide. $30.
So it actually hasn't moved all that much in the past year. I think it was already basically there about a year ago. But it's probably might have another move. I don't know. If people, there's the, it's really the only way to do that in modern. Because Mox Opal is not easy to use at all. But the elf, she's not a lord, but she's the trample ability. It's showing up in that Collected Company Elves deck as a four of. It's basically the same list too every night. It's fucking weird. Have you seen that? It's like the and it has four of the guy where you put a minus one counter to untap it, that elf guy, and four Fauna Shaman. So those two slots, like four Fauna Shaman, you know, they must really want the Azuri because they have like some toolbox, but not a huge toolbox. But the
Yeah, I
deck
mean.
has been lighting it up. The deck has been going like 3-1, 4-0, like every day for like 2 weeks straight. So it's and like different pilots too. It's not just like two guys like trying to spike cards or anything. So it
Yeah.
seems like a sweet deck.
So yeah, elves are always awesome, man.
And I think like people are thinking about Collected Company in modern, and I think if you're doing that, like Heritage Druid is sweet, man. Like, 'cause that four, you know, you pay, you tap out or whatever, pay four for the Collected Company, and one of those creatures is a Heritage Druid. You're just off to the races again.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I used to not realize how good Heritage Druid was because I misread the card, and I thought it had like a summoning sickness. So, you know, I didn't realize that you go turn one elf, untap elf, Heritage Druid, tap my three elves for three. I was just thinking like it had summoning sickness.
No, because you're not.
Yeah, but my mind when I read the card, it's, you know, I was insufficiently transcendent.
Oh man. So before we talk about more magic, I want to use this opportunity because I think the majority of what we're going to talk about tonight is Modern Masters. It's just to talk about fucking the hype for Vegas, man. We're close, boys. We're real fucking close, man. Alt, do I have to bring you a birthday present?
Bring me a birthday present? I'm sure something in
Or
Vegas will come up. You want to buy me a birthday prostitute or something like that?
listen, man, if that's what you want, I'm giving the money to JR and he can handle the fucking transaction.
Yeah, it's JR, you're better at haggling. If we're getting her to go off the menu and not do any sex stuff, you better do the negotiating.
Oh man.
Prostitutes aren't actually legal in Vegas.
Yes, that is a thing.
Yeah, my
I know
mom
that from
was
watching HBO. How do you know that?
from watching trashy police Vegas TV shows on
I
base.
can break these cuffs!
Yeah, my mom was telling me to be worried about guys bringing prostitutes into the house and other things. She was like, "You should be worried about that." And I was like, "Yeah, man."
Yeah,
Your brother Giacomo, he had a run-in with the prostitute. You will be careful, JR. His mother
Oh.
calls him JR.
You
You don't know.
don't fucking know.
I don't know where you come from. He doesn't seem Italian.
He don't sweat olive oil like the rest of us.
His last name is Ruben or something. I don't know.
Oh, God. That's so fucked up. I'm so fucking excited, though. Like, I think now that I'm, like, so close, like, plus, like, I haven't gone on vacation since I started my new job in November. So yeah, I'm just, like, I'm excited, man. Although, I guess I am going to, like, so I'm going to the beach for Memorial Day weekend, coming back Monday, then flying to Vegas Tuesday. So I guess I'm going to get, like, a strong mini vacation prior to vacation. But I do want to mention that that today we secured some Money Draft logo stickers that will be in Las Vegas.
They're $100 each.
Mr. Alt and I, yeah, we determined the pricing scheme. So we got 200 of these things. So each Money Draft sticker is $100. Unless you have something in your possession that has another MTG-related community or game logo or sticker, and you put the Money Draft sticker over that logo in front of us, that's the only way you can get them for free. And I think that's fair.
And he means, like, literal stickers. This isn't, like, code for anything weird. It's just, like... like regular stickers. It's not like if you have a sheet of 25, like a 5x5 sheet of 25 stickers, like we like those stickers. It's not like anything weird like that.
It's not called stickers because it's like a new suppository drug or anything. It's called stickers because you stick it up your ass and then you get high as balls.
So we got that Transcendent Money Draft logo. It's gonna be beautiful. The kids are going to get babies. Babies will cry upon seeing it.
We should pay that guy.
Oh, man. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited to, I'm fucking just hyped, man. And I really am excited to do some drafts of Modern Masters outside of the main event.
I'll be hype when we get there and no one dies in the house.
Hey man, that's an if, not a when.
I realized how crazy I was last time. It's one thing when you're just on vacation and you have no responsibilities and you're just like, woo! But someone has some responsibility. So.
Yeah, you gotta make sure there are no murders in that house.
I know, man. People are gonna be getting crazy.
We're going to wake up and there's going to be a prostitute floating in that grotto. And we're like, oh, we had to get a grotto. You know what? We did. And if there's a dead hooker in there, so be it. Who's going to miss her?
It's not going to be any fucking hookers, man. Brother Giacomo does not approve of any hookers in the house, man.
Yeah, no one approves of that. That kind of talk.
That kind of fucking rhetoric.
That rhetoric. But yeah. It'll be a good time. It'll be a good time.
Oh,
I spoke to the owner today. We're getting a hook up with a shuttle and so forth. So
a shuttle.
Yeah, for a couple of days. Like we have the rate figured out and everything. It's pretty good. It's basically like 1/10 what a cab, you know, what cab rides would be or something like that. It comes out to something like that.
Yeah, well, I originally thought the place was walkable to the strip, but nah. It's not really.
Yeah, you look at the map and you're used to like New York scale kind of. Yeah. But no, those blocks are not blocks. Those blocks are like miles.
Fucking Vegas, man. A bunch of fucking nothing.
Sometimes you have to build stuff out of nothing. I was looking at Wikipedia.
What? I bet there are some people right now listening to this podcast that have no plans to go to Vegas. And they're like, why do they keep talking about Vegas? I'm not even going. You know what I say to those people? Die in a fucking fire.
That profound hatred from Mr.
No, Alt. No. I don't hate him. I just want him to fucking die in a fire.
I talked to I was DMing back and forth with Andrew Huska Curly, and he was like, yeah, like I'm going to a poker tournament this weekend. I'm going to spike it and buy a ticket to Vegas. And I was like, do that shit. Cause like, if you play Magic, like you should probably go to Las Vegas, like arrange to get there. Like now, like yeah. Just stop listening to Money Draft and like buy a plane flight to Las Vegas. Like, it's real. Just do it. Just do it. It's once in a lifetime. Make moves.
It's going to be a good time.
This is the second Vegas GP.
Yeah, like...
Once in a lifetime?
Well, this specific one...
Not as such.
Like, do you guys think it's going to hit 10K?
Seems like it's getting up there. I don't know if I really don't know if I'm going to play. It's sad.
I don't know. I'm on the fence, but I'm really leaning towards not playing at all.
I'm not registered yet, but I should register just to get that value.
I'm so much more concerned with milling people from the rotisserie draft that, like, that's my main event.
I know. I already have my roto deck half together. It's going to be fun dragoning people. If all three dragons.
All three
all two blood moons.
Yeah, you're
which three dragons?
Thundermaw, the red dragons.
Stormbreath and Starken.
No Sheevan?
Did not make the cut.
Should not be in the cube either.
It's in the cube though. It's gonna get cut. I don't know. Actually, I look forward to playing a lot of cube at Vegas to sort of just learn about things from my own cube in terms of what things in my own cube probably do not work that I have a pet sort of love of. Yeah.
You've never drafted that with eight people, have you?
Nope. But I've definitely learned. I mean, even when you guys came up, I learned that I didn't have enough fatties, basically. That was one thing that jumped out. So, you know, every little bit. I'm even like in terms of like booze cube, I almost just prefer like regular cube now. Of course, like Saturday will be booze cube night, but sometimes with booze cube, it's just like, oh man, I don't want to sit here and read all these cards that I don't know. Like, I just feel entitled at this point to know like almost every card.
I just drafted the same deck twice. It worked out.
Fair. Fair.
But yeah, we'll have the Booze Cube Championship. It's going to be pretty epic, man. It's going to go late. Like, if the tournament gets too big, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Because it's going to... Yeah. It has to finish that night, right?
Yeah.
So if the tournament is big and, like...
The tournaments, right? Like, it's like, it's already two events.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
We have to, like, settle on our schedule, or not schedule, but, like, what restaurants we want to check out and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like, we need to make reservations this week. For sure.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to make reservations, but is there anything on your list? Or because like there was one on my list, and it's sort of a weird one, which is just it's Spago, just because it sounds like so LA and like so degenerately LA, but it's like, you know, it's like the place where like Hollywood producers go. It's like, yeah, let's have lunch at Spago. It's like that place, right? So I want to go there and see the. Just like feel the California vibe.
You want a spa go there?
That's right. It's like there's a place like that in New York. It's called Michael's. It has like a very LA vibe to it. I can't explain it. But it had an LA vibe, and I talked to someone about it, and he was like, yeah, that was intentional. So I was like, yeah, all right. But That was in the Rockefeller apartment building where Nelson Rockefeller died.
Like, I don't know. I want to go to at least one, like, insane restaurant, like Joe Robichon or Nobu.
Vegas Insane just feels like, kind of like a tourist trap, though, right? Because like New York Insane is one thing, Philly Insane, like, but like Vegas Insane is just like, all right, you're just gonna be paying $200 more for like no,
but stuff. I mean restaurants in Vegas that have like won like international, like not like this is like in a nice hotel, but like legitimate chefs doing like real shit. Like I'm not going to.
Yeah, but
you could definitely find those.
Yeah, even those are sort of like franchised out, right? Like, are there any like chefs living in Vegas? I'm sure there are. It's probably a stupid question, but like which? Yeah, I guess that's a good question. Like which?
Just look for Michelin stars.
That's where I start. Like so.
Anyway, yeah, people definitely have had enough Vegas talk now.
Nah, man, hype.
So getting back to
this is our podcast. We can talk about Vegas on our podcast.
What kind of accent was that?
Mouthful of food accent.
I wasn't sure if you were going for like this is close to the border of Ohio and Indiana. That's what that accent was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But
that's how I sound when I talk, dog. That's just something you're just gonna have to get used to.
We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. And we want to talk about Modern Masters Limited. So every, not every set that comes out, but, you know, it's good to just take a cursory. You can tell a lot about the set, just or the limited environment, just by looking at the commons and uncommons. So...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like rampant growth's in the set, so like I'm just gonna play like greedy fucking decks and take all the rampant growths. Like that's gonna be my main strategy.
Yeah, growth at common. That's my fallback limited strategy. Is just of course we're talking sealed here, so sealed is gonna be much easier. I think like you're just sort of
you either win or don't win. Like
yeah. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to get some information about like which, which decks have look worse than they are perform worse than they look or perform better than they look. Because right now, like the red white double strike one at least looks like really exciting. You know, like if you could draft that, that would be sweet. But again, you're just like opening a pool. But the red-white, it looks pretty sweet. I mean, there's, like, a decent number of – there's a lot of equipment at low rarities and a lot of double-strike stuff.
The domain, I guess, deck is, like, probably where I'll most likely find myself. Like,
yeah, and some people were, like – so some people were saying – is it Zach Barash at Hipsters of the Coast? He was saying like the archetypes look less well defined than the last Modern Masters, and he just thought it was going to be like a good stuff format because there was enough synergies in the archetypes. And I sort of see what he's saying in a lot of places, especially with like some of the black pairs, like black blue. Like it just seems like a bunch of good black cards or whatever. Like I mean, the sacking theme is one thing.
Well, like the proliferate goes well with graft and with the -1/-1 counters you're getting in black, stuff like that.
Sure. You know? So that might be like where some testing will come into play to see.
So you're going to be fighting like two different people are going to be fighting for the proliferate stuff.
So will it be just a good stuff?
Color fixing we have, yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The
I think
it's pretty insane.
I think sealed is of this format. Well, I think most sealed is pretty miserable, but like, I feel like sealed of this format is just going to be like, look at your pool.
Miserable.
Yeah, just look.
Yeah, like look at your pool.
Know what your deck is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like this tournament is so big that it's not like, well, I'm gonna make this deck and like grind some wins. Like no,
they're gonna be insane decks.
Yeah, they're because gonna be fucking bonkers.
I look at these cards and there might be like some sweets, like maybe like the token deck with sacking stuff. But I just look at the commons and I say to myself, blue seems really attractive because blue has mana leak. There's telling time. Well, telling time isn't even a big one, but what is it? Narcolepsy has the removal, Vapor Snag, Repeal. So it has like two like pretty sweet tempo spells. Repeal seems good because like it hits the tokens, and you're just drawing a card. And I think it also has Dissipate, right, at common. So I like the blue commons.
Blue's just so slow though.
Yeah, but I think you're gonna pair it with something. You're gonna have tempo, and again. So I'm just saying, like, absent the rares and mythics I open, I sort of like blue, and I sort of like black for the removal, and I like green for ramp. But, again, yeah, you're just going to, like, what are my rares? What are my mythics? What are my uncommons? And Dismember is uncommon. That's a good one. What else is another good?
You know what's not good? Every every Phyrexian mana spell ever printed is in the set except Gitaxian Probe.
Yeah, it seems
settle about.
Seems like Git Probe. I mean, I guess people could find it annoying in draft.
Yeah, it's annoying. You so always, what?
You always like feel like you could just take it. Maybe I don't know, but So black has Sign and Blood. It's pretty decent. Red has a couple good. I don't have the name of it in front of me, but I remember there was a Land Cycler damage spell in common in red.
Yeah.
White has Arrest a common. Sunlance, which, you know, in a pod. It's probably better than in a constructed environment to only be able to hit non-white creatures.
Sunlance it's fine. I honestly, I think Strafe might be a little bit better in this set, but Sunlance is fine. And Strafe's not legal, also.
Yeah, yeah. So those were some of the first things I thought of looking at this. Yeah, I feel like a lot like Steve. It's just like you're gonna open your pool.
And... It's gonna be a peek and shriek format.
Well, that's like great, like, because then you could just like look at your pool and be like, all right, like
it's Vegas time.
Yeah,
because this will be the only time anyone will play sealed practically, you know, because no one's gonna want to go back to their LGS and drop $60 on sealed. So this will be drafted, and it'll, you know. Man, I'm going to have a hard time finding enough people to do multiple drafts of this at my LGS. Because spending $30 on a novelty is fine, but spending $90 on three novelties, like, the poor fucks and college students at my LGS aren't going to be able to swing that.
I'm just going to draft the fuck out of it online. Like, that's my plan.
That's probably the play.
Yeah, that's the same thing I did with the first Modern Masters. Like, I just drafted it online like a fucking lunatic. So it might be magic on the stream soon.
Well, it'll be interesting to see like how the people like it when they start to get into it. Or, you know, are they going to be like, oh, yeah, there's some interesting interactions here and trade-offs between the different colors. Or it's going to be like, again, the synergies aren't powerful enough to just trump whatever bombs you're taking.
Like, that's what I'm worried about. Like you get that sick graph deck, and then you just like scoop to double prime time.
Yeah, like I like.
Well, I mean, double.
I like the first modern format so much. Modern Masters, and I think it was like a big part of it for me was the fact that the archetypes were like so clear and like, you know, you had to like identify what was open, what wasn't, and go in and pick a strategy that wasn't just a fucking trap. Like, I don't know. I think that this is more open, but like the power level of the cards is still so high that like in Modern Masters 1, right? If you got like a super streamlined archetype deck, like you could beat the guy that had the bombs. But I feel like because it's not as streamlined in this set, if you don't have the bombs, like you're just going to get ranched. Like you're going to get fucking ranched.
Yeah. The and
like, and you know what? People aren't going to get past that many bombs because anybody that's got a really balmy seal pool is just going to drop and take the money. So there actually won't be that much getting passed around.
Looking at like the aggressive decks too, like I'm not blown away at common. I'm just not blown away with the creatures. Red and black are kind of cool. You have the Bloodthirst stuff going on. You could sort of pile in there. But I'm just not blown away by any of the aggressive stuff that I see in common. So I'm sort of just, yeah, you know, just what are your best cards that you open? And then do you want removal? Do you want ramp? Do you want some mana leak and stuff? So, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will. We'll see, because we'll be in Vegas. I don't know if we mentioned this, but the weekend of the 28th of May this year, there's a Grand Prix in Las Vegas, and it's going to be Modern Masters 2015 sealed.
Yeah. Like, and if you're sick and tired of us talking about Vegas, like, there might be another episode before Vegas again. Like,
you don't think we're going to talk about Vegas then? Get your own fucking podcast.
Oh, man, and what about...
Don't like it.
What about after Vegas? You know how much Vegas we're going to talk about after Vegas?
We talked about Vegas for 3 months. We haven't stopped talking about the first Vegas, and it was 2 years ago.
That's very true.
Fucking go to Vegas. If you're sick, you hear, oh, I don't want to hear about it. Yeah, go, and then you'll be like, oh, it's awesome. No, we could talk. Now we're on your level, kind of. You won't be, but, I mean, you can pretend.
If you happen to procure a Money Draft sticker, like, you would be like a baby step closer.
That's a get out of jail free card, actually. If you have a Money Draft sticker,
yeah,
and you show it to the cops, they have to let you go.
It's actually currency in 37 countries.
It looks like currency.
That profound currency.
The one thing we're missing, I want to have like a profile of a tree. You know those like those whack trees, those like 200 year old trees with like, you know, 400 branches. Like some of that stuff. Like the Constitution tree in Connecticut.
We should do Money Draft polos and like make like, so like you could either buy like the Money Draft JR polo, the Money Draft Slick polo, or the Money Draft Jason polo. And they could all be like, have profound designs.
Yeah. Mine would definitely be the tree that also shows the roots underneath it. That would be good. Kind of like this Lesnia symbol, but much better.
Much more graphic and profound.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fuck, dude, it's so close. Like, oh, man. Memorial Day weekend is, like, right before it. I had, like, a panic attack when I was, like, working out my plans for the month. I was like, holy fuck, is Vegas over Memorial Day weekend? And I just never fucking realized it. Thankfully.
It is some years. Like, some years my birthday on the 30th is on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been for a while. It's really weird.
I mean, cheer. Oh, man. The fucking hype. That real fucking hype.
I wonder how many people turn off this podcast.
Turn it off.
Through an episode. I'm going to hear about Vegas. I wonder if that ever happens. Or if our listeners are a little more enlightened than that and not trifling fucks.
Like, why would you ever turn off a podcast of Money Draft? Like, you don't know what JR is going to say later. Like, you don't know. It could change.
Yeah, how could you go through your life being okay with missing out on the fucking psychedelic iridescence?
Yeah, like, if you're a new listener, like, you should probably just, like, go back and, like, catch up on, like, all the profound shit that has been said.
Yeah.
Or just wait for episode 100.
Yeah, I was reading Wikipedia yesterday, getting fascinated by bridge construction and how much it costs to build bridges and how many cars go across them each day and what the average toll was and stuff. It's like, it's not the worst business, building bridges.
Yeah, it is, because, like, that's the first place funding gets cut from. We're not funding a public works project.
That's the idea. It's a new business where a private company owns the bridge. And
oh, they're in charge of maintaining it? Then there's going to be tolls on every single bridge then, as soon as you do that.
Yeah, that's the idea. There's going to be tolls, but
on every bridge.
It could even be just like a public transportation bridge where the toll is just in the cost of the ticket. But I feel like...
we have that. It's called taxes. That's literally taxes, but less efficient.
The point is the infrastructure system needs like more private involvement, I think. That's the ultimate
point. That's some right-wing shit, dude. What have you been reading?
That's just how JR lives his fucking life, man.
I think even like very progressive people would agree that perhaps, you know, if you know, there would be contracts saying that, like, you can't, you know, if you stop service, you're just going to get sued the shit out of. So there would be contracts. So, you know, the company would own the bridge, but, you know, there would be a contract saying, like, you can never, basically, unless there's an act of God, you can never revoke access to the bridge, that kind of thing.
Will there be a contract that says you can't raise the price of the toll, like, every day?
Sure, there'll be, like, a long-term...
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, fuck you, we own the bridge. Like, we don't want the public trust like that in the hands of private companies.
So how are cities going to get new fucking infrastructure then? They're broke.
Stop spending the fucking tax money on tax breaks for millionaires and bringing Walmart into town and fucking killing brown people and shit. Like, we have the money for that. We're just not spending it on that. It's about holding our government accountable to spend the money we already fucking gave them to fix our bridges on fixing bridges.
I agree, like, that raising taxes has to be part of it.
Don't give that shit away to a private company who's going to be even less inclined to fix it. Be like, oh, at least the government is like accountable to people. A private company's not. They'd be like, fuck you. We're not going to fix
accountable
it.
People. They right. Sue the shit out of if, like, fucking there's a major accident due to their negligence.
Yeah, there's going to be huge-ass lines to go across that bridge every day. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, the price went up again. Because fuck you. You got to take our bridge. You don't want a company in a position where they're like, oh, we have a monopoly on this fucking bridge. And you don't want, like, 100 different companies building 100 different bridges over the same expanse and fucking...
Well, in practice, that wouldn't happen.
I'm taking the McDonald's bridge, man. Fuck you guys. Burger King bridge.
I love in that bridge.
So, but the point is, raising taxes is difficult. I'm saying maybe
don't,
there's some way...
Use the tax money we already have
there's
for
not
that.
Enough. I mean, there's like a million things. That's what's so hard about politics, like real politics. Like, if you were like actually just like stripping away like bullshit jockeying, but like actually governing. Like, if you're in the government, like every decision basically you have to weigh it against like every other single thing you could spend that money on. And so basically, like, you're perpetually, like, ranking things in terms of, like,
That's called making a budget. They have to do that every year.
Sure. But it's hard to, like, argue for any one thing when, like, you sort of have to, like, balance it all at the same time.
I don't think the answer is privatizing bridges. I think that's profoundly fucked up. That's that libertarian fantasy of, like, having to pay the police officers to come and shit like that.
I don't agree. Like, that's totally different. Like, that shit in, I forget the name of the book. But, yeah, the guy who's, like, arguing, David Friedman, arguing for, you know, privatized legal system and police. Like, that's obviously, like, bullshit. That's obviously just going to devolve into, like, mafia-style stuff. But bridges, I mean, again, there's going to be a contract, so they can't revoke access.
I would love to have a fucking bridge and raise the price every day.
Well, they're not going to be able to do that.
You got to take my bridge, cocksucker. What are you going to do? The price just went up. It went up again because you fucking argued. There's a line for stretching for miles for people trying to pay the toll. That would be awesome. I would love that. I would just sit on my bridge
with a huge heart on it, just jerk off while
I watch people honk miserable because they can't get to work.
So the city should borrow money to build a bridge. And then,
no, they should use the money that they have already taken in from taxes.
They don't have enough money. Okay.
No, they do have enough money. They're just using it for different shit.
I agree. Taxes need to be raised because the fiscal situation of municipalities and fucking government in general is just kind of fucked. So part of it is that taxes need to come up in general.
You can absolutely just – I don't think taxes need to go up. Really, no, man. You don't need to raise, just need to use the money better. Stop subsidizing Walmarts and shit like that. We're wasting so much fucking money.
I'm pretty sure you suggested raising taxes about 10 minutes earlier.
No, it's true. He is saying just use the tax, but I'm saying like there's not enough money because they would have already used it on certain things.
No, they wouldn't because they're not accountable to the fucking people they're serving. Nobody, because it's not politically unpopular.
Now you're saying the government isn't accountable. Before you were saying that corporations aren't accountable.
Oh, they're absolutely not accountable. People need to hold their government accountable, and they're not because they're lazy fucks and they just want to go watch fucking American Gladiators or whatever. But I'm saying there would absolutely be no accountability whatsoever. You can't even recall people at least you can vote out bad government. You can't even vote out a bad corporation. You just have to eat a dick and pay whatever toll they decide to charge you that day. Like, that's miserable. I don't want to pay taxes on top of that. Like, if I'm already paying taxes and then I'm getting a fucking poll tax at the goddamn the fucking bridge, forget that shit. That's ridiculous.
You mentioned American Gladiators. I'm thinking of that time on Double Dare where that little kid, he got, like, hung up on the first obstacle. Like, the very first one, he got hung up, and he just, like, he couldn't find the ball inside the first fucking obstacle on Double Dare, and he's just crying, and his family was like, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay.
Bitch.
But it's tough to be a fucking city, man. It's tough.
This is the guy who lives in the largest city on the planet.
It's tough. It was tougher in the 60s and 70s.
I said not per capita, dog.
All right, Doug.
I don't know.
Where does New York rank? Because I know that's not. It's definitely not the most densely populated city.
That shit's always changing now. It's ridiculous. I don't even know, like, even the tallest building. There's a new tallest building in New York now. Or it's going to be in, like, a couple years. But something funny. This is a good money draft, like, anecdote. The penthouse in this new, it's like 435 Park Avenue. It's the highest residential building in the world. It's basically like a little bit higher than the Empire State Building.
Wait, hold on. Is this the one where they couldn't sell all the units?
Well, I mean, they've only sold like half the units so far. But
okay,
the funny thing is like the penthouse up top, which is like 75 million or something ridiculous. Whenever it gets cloudy, like, so the whole point is like you have this like stupid view. But whenever it gets cloudy, you're just covered by fucking clouds. And I saw that. I can see it in the reflection. I can see that building on a reflection on this other building over here. And I noticed that the other day, and it was fucking hilarious.
There's another, like,
you can't even complain because no one wants to hear the guy with the fucking $75 million penthouse talking about how the clouds obscure his $75 million.
That's so
view.
Funny. It's like, first of all, it sucks to be on the top of that building, man. You feel like you're gonna die all the time. You're always nervous. when you're like looking down on the top of like the Rockefeller Center building, like just like looking down, like straight down onto the top of that building. It's like, whoa, like why I shouldn't be able to like look into the Bronx Zoo and like you see animals in the Bronx Zoo. Like
they, there's another like super high end high rise in New York I heard about, that they couldn't sell all the units. So they offered some of the units at a very discounted rate, but the people that bought those couldn't use the front door.
Separate but equal entrances.
That's some next level shit right there.
Yeah, I was looking at this one building to rent a couple of years ago near Rockefeller Center, like above, looking down on St. Patrick's Cathedral, and it had this weird thing, like Onassis built the building and like Jackie Kennedy lived there for a little bit and stuff. And like, there were no numbers on the apartments didn't have numbers. And anytime you got something delivered, you had to like come down and get it delivered because people just wanted this like weird privacy, like where the actual apartments didn't have numbers. So that was fucking weird. But I'm glad I didn't move there because like the next year, like, the cathedral, St. Patrick's Cathedral, was covered by scaffolding, like, for the next 2 years. So that would have been, like...
Daryl would have, like, seriously been, like, upset by that.
Like, I'm trying to look down on the fucking cathedral. You're going to cover it with scaffolding now, so it's not satisfying? Fuck.
You wanted to literally look down upon religion.
And I would also be able to see the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center a little bit during the winter. That would have been cool. So, but yeah... That didn't happen. Not again, like the whole, well, the, first of all, the neighborhood is very barren and crappy, but
we're profoundly moved by your first world problems.
I know, man.
The plight of JR is the plight of the people.
Don't you hate it when your building doesn't have numbers? So when you get shit delivered, you have to go talk to a human being.
Right, that's the whole... Like, you don't want to talk to anyone.
I know, man. That fucking sucks.
JR gets upset when he has to pick up the phone for the doorman to let me in.
Yeah. I almost get upset every time I have to pick up the phone. Oh, half man. The time it seems like it's work.
You get, like, super visibly tilted. Like.
Hey man, that's fucking peasant work, picking up a phone and talking to someone who fucking works in a building.
Yeah, man, don't command my attention. I get weird about that.
I'm the only one that directs my fucking attention, okay?
Yeah. Like don't try to get in my head too much.
If you signal me, like I literally
will. I will counter signal the fuck out of you. And no one will find your fucking body. Wait, that got dark again.
It always does, Jason. It always does.
I was just trying to be all high.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
I had a buddy who tried some of the marijuanas this weekend and he died, so.
Yeah, man.
We shouldn't do drug humor on this podcast.
It's not okay.
That doesn't sound like a true story.
No, he was doing marijuanas and he's dead.
Nope. Was he old?
No, he got shot in a heroin deal.
Yeah.
Heroin deal went bad and the guy fucking shot him, but like...
Yeah.
Marijuana's probably played a role.
It probably did, man. It's probably the gateway drug.
Did you know if you smoke marijuanas even once, someday you'll die? And people think that's just a safe time. Drug. Just yeah, right.
Yeah. It's true, man.
Money draft.
Oh, fuck.
Spoiler. Talking to doorman.
I'm like the least bro-y guy at work.
I'm sure you work with like some serious fucking bros.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it's like the broker bros who we actually like call, like even before, like we used the term bro in the Magic community, like we would call the brokers bros. They always try to bro it up. And it's like, dude, I don't want to talk about sports. I don't try to talk to me. I'm just trying to get off the fucking phone.
I could just imagine somebody asking JR a question about like, hey man, what do you think about Tom Brady getting suspended? JR is just literally, I will fucking murder you.
No, I would just like stare at them for a second, just like for 1 second until it's like a little bit awkward and then like say something else, but just like make them feel ashamed for a second. They ask like a pedestrian question and just assume that I cared. I used to like sports again. I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah, you still remember the name Hartford Whalers.
Who doesn't?
What's you in like the 1% of people ever?
I saw a guy with a Hartford Whalers hat the other day. Like, it's a good move.
They got a resurgence in popularity in NHL 93 because they were so fucking terrible that people like tried to beat the game with Hartford because it was a challenge.
Jeez.
Because they were just so goddamn bad.
Fucking Hartford.
Oh, whale.
I was also reading Mark Twain's Wikipedia page the other night, and he lit, like, because I remember, like, my parents took me to his, like, his mansion in Hartford when I was young, and I was like, why was he in Hartford? Like, why, he was, like, from the South, like, why would he end up in Hartford? And it seemed like he had a bunch of financial troubles, like as good as a writer as he was, like financially, he was always like, because originally before he was a writer, he went to San Francisco in like 1849 and tried to get rich there on gold and it didn't work. So he was always like fortune was always eluding him, even though he was a successful writer. So he moved to Hartford, and like, it seems like, the reason he moved there is because it had the highest per capita income of any city in the U.S. at that point. So that was like part of the reason why he moved there. And then he had this like super disastrous investment in a typesetting machine, which basically, like, you know, you started out with like the printing press in like 1400, 1450, whatever, with Gutenberg, where you had like each letter was its own.
Wait, piece. Steve Gutenberg?
Steve Gutenberg, yeah. From
from 2 men and a baby, or 3 men and a baby.
No, I was going back to
Police Academy.
Police Academy, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, what did Steve... he have to do with a typesetting machine? That doesn't make any sense.
So Steve Gutenberg invented the typesetting machine where each letter was its own piece. So it took a lot of time to print, to put together one page of text. You know, you had like 200 pieces or whatever. So the challenge was to automate that somehow by making that faster. So there was some invention that Mark Twain like invested a lot of money in, but it looked really impressive, but it never quite worked. And then like 2 years later, someone invented a linotype machine, which was the way like printing was done basically from that point until like the 50s and 60s. And that automated the typesetting.
That automated typesetting.
And Mark Twain lost a lot of money on that. And he basically had to like move to Europe because, you know, he had been a millionaire and like lost all his money. And apparently it was a lot cheaper to like just live in Europe at that point. So he had to move his family by losing on that bet when he was beat by the linotype technology.
Bad beats for a writer to lose to a typesetting machine.
And the way linotype works essentially is that each of those like the letter A on the back of it, there's like a groove, which is essentially a key, so that the typesetter can like, you know, basically hit a keyboard, drop all the keys into the tray, and then based on like what key they have on the actual letter, they end up in the right place at the end of it all because of the key. So that was like the solution for modern typesetting. So that's what happens when JR gets intense and reads Wikipedia.
You sound like an autistic person talking about trains right now.
Oh, dude, I've been talking about trains this whole time. You know,
you know what I mean? Like, if you didn't realize, if you could listen to this podcast, episode 31B of Money Draft, and, like, realize that this episode is all about trains, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, they probably know because the fucking episode title is the one about trains, and they're like, well, how is this about trains until, like, right now?
I mean, they're fucking going to know, man. This episode certainly isn't the one about GP Vegas hype. That's next week. This week is
this is the one about trains.
This is the one about trains, motherfucker.
Choo-choo, motherfucker!
That choo-choo, bitch!
I'm legally changing my name to Thomas now.
There you go, man.
Yeah, man. I had a Putin is dead moment the other day. Like, I was like, man, this is definitely intentional. But we don't need to talk about that now. All right. I think we need to wrap it up here. I think people got things to do.
Did we exhaust your docket?
We did not, but we talked about some other topics. Like, let's exhaust the docket. About trains some more? I mean, trains are on the docket still.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk about trains.
That B&O railroad type shit.
There was a train derailment in Philly. I figured we'd talk about trains. Shit.
Oh, God. That fucked my whole shit up, man. That's just so fucked up. Like,
I'm sorry all those people dying inconvenienced you.
I mean, it's really fucked up. Like, I take that train all the time. Like, I'm really happy that I'm not dead. Like,
I know, man. But I'm saying it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing because, like, that something fucked up was going on there. JR knows his disasters. He knows about the Frankfurt Junction, and it's like basically the tightest curve on the whole northeastern corridor. So,
like, I took it at 105, like a fucking first timer.
Yeah, and it would be one thing if he were coming from the other direction, and maybe he'd be he would have nodded off like that other guy in Connecticut or whatever. But he just had been at Philly Station like 10 minutes before, so there's no reason why he was going to be gunning it.
The accident happened in Philly proper.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't like outside of the city.
Yeah. So there's no way you should be going that fast. Like you know how you know you're in the city? When you look around and you're in a fucking trench, like in the middle of a major city, that's how you know you're still in the city. Like, so to just like start gunning it to max at that point, I don't know.
I want to know what they haven't released anything official. Like, what happened? But like,
I bet the guy needed to take a shit.
But he was like, maybe?
He's like, oh, I gotta get home. That cheesesteak went right through me. Why do they put Cheese Whiz on food? That's gross.
No, but that's seriously, like, it's super sad. Like, I don't know. I think I might have to take a bus back home Sunday again because I don't know if they're going to have the tracks opened up by the end of the weekend.
Well, that guy opened up some tracks.
I mean, I know they got people obviously working on it over the clock or around the clock, but yeah, I mean, oh man, fucking money draft.
Have compassion, man.
That money draft.
People are dead, but like, we're gonna pitch in and take a bus.
Yeah, like
we're all making sacrifices.
Yeah.
Figuring out that transportation system for the people.
Yeah, maybe that should be privatized too.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, jeez.
All right, guys.
Yeah, this has been Money Draft 31B.
A.K.A. 32. A.K.A. 36B.
A.K.A. 36E.
All right. Nanu, nanu.
Nanu, nanu, motherfuckers.
Who's hot, who not? Tell me who rock, who sell out in the store. You tell me who flop, who cop the new drop, who jewels got rocks, who else making rap albums doing
doing numbers like it's pop. Same old pimp, Drake, you know ain't nothing changed. With these funny style niggas we done put on in the game. I just asked for some blessings at my grandmother's grave. Then it's back to LA, open the mail, staring at the check. Enough to make you throw up, man, it's gross what I net. I'm with my whole set, tennis matches at the crib. I swear I could be Serena when she playing with her left. Oh, where I reside, it look like a resort aside. Nigga, where your shit from? I imported mine. Ball miss for money like my last name, Mordecai. Fuck you, bitch, I'm more than high. My mama probably hear that and be mortified. This ain't the son you raised, he used to take the Acura at 5 a.m. to go and shoot the grassy up on Morningside. For all the stunning, I'll forever be immortalized. Yeah, back and forth across the borderline. Hate to leave the city, but I gotta do the overtime. Gone all the time, even the important times. I should let you know ahead, I'm coming back on my worst behavior. Remember? Remember? Motherfucker! Remember? Hold up, hold my phone. They used to never wanna hear us. Remember? Motherfucker never loved us. Remember? Motherfucker? Remember? Worst behavior.
Marcel keeps saying as such and per se in text messages to the group, and like Corbin doesn't understand it, so it's really funny.
Yeah,
that'll teach him not to listen.
I almost responded to that a couple days ago, but then I didn't.
Money draft.
All right, I hear sirens in the background. Get your window open.
I closed it.
JR's never used a mute button in his life. Not fucking once.
I have used it before.
I don't trifle with fucking mute.
If there's an echo this whole episode, I'm going to name it the one where JR never used a mute button.
All right, let's do this.